Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. We were chatting about it before the break with John Riley, but the tech story that has me captivated the most this week is the social media addiction trials. We gave the context to the case before the courts a few weeks back. If you missed it, you'll find it on the Go Loud app. But I want to bring you up to speed with what has taken place over the last few days. Now, this is all happening inside Department 12 of the Spring Street Courthouse in Los Angeles. As a reminder, TikTok and Snap settled for undisclosed sums just as the jury selection wrapped, leaving Meta and Google, the giants behind Instagram and YouTube, to face the music. We're a week into this bellwether trial for 20-year-old KGM. Monday morning started with lead plaintiff attorney Mark Lanier walking into court with a toy Ferrari and a carton of eggs. Now, this sounds like a primary school science experiment, but the point he was making was deadly serious. He told the jury in this case, it's as easy as ABC, addicting the brains of children. Meta and Google didn't just build apps, they built high-speed engines for engagement with no breaks. What struck me is that Lanier's Open didn't focus on bad content. He went after the engineering. He compared the like button to a slot machine's payout and the infinite scroll to a bottomless bowl of soup. But the defense, led by Meta's Paul Schmidt, didn't flinch. Their strategy seems to rely on the pre-existing condition defense. They argued that KGM struggles with depression and self-harm, which involved over 260 medical sessions, rarely mentioned social media in clinical notes. They're telling the jury the phone was a mirror to her pain, not the source of it. By Tuesday, the smoking guns started hitting the evidence screen. This is where the trial moved beyond the headlines that we've all been reading. We saw documents from Project Mist, an internal Meta study. It revealed that the company knew kids who had experienced trauma or high stress were disproportionately vulnerable to compulsive use. Instead of building a kill switch for these kids, internal memos showed employees discussing school blasts, pushing notifications specifically during school hours to, quote, optimize for sneaking a look at your phone under your desk in chemistry. To explain why this matters, the plaintiffs called Dr. Anna Lembeck from Stanford. She quite literally wrote the book on dopamine. She testified that for a six-year-old, which is the age KGM was when she started on YouTube, the platform acts as a gateway drug. Because the prefrontal cortex, the brain's brake system, isn't developed, a child is biologically incapable of resisting the autoplay feature. In her words, it's not a fair fight. Then came Wednesday. Google's defense attorney, Lewis Lee, stood up and made a claim that left the gallery whispering, according to reports. He argued that YouTube is not social media. Quote, it's not social media addiction when it's not social media and it's not an addiction. In this case, Google is trying to brand YouTube as a digital library, like Netflix or a virtual classroom. They even showed data claiming KGM only used shorts for an average of 1 minute and 14 seconds a day. Their point is you can't be addicted to something you barely use. This is a clever legal pivot. If they aren't a social media, they might escape the specific regulations and design defect claims being levelled at Instagram. But the biggest moment of the week was when Adam Mosseri, the head of Instagram, took to the stand. He is the first high-ranking executive to face cross-examination. Reports state he was polished, but he found himself in a bit of a linguistic dance. Under oath, he flatly refused to use the word addiction. He said, I think it's important to differentiate between clinical addiction and problematic use. I might say I'm addicted to a Netflix show I binged late at night, but that's not a medical diagnosis. The plaintiffs then brought up beauty filters. They showed internal debates from 2021 where Instagram staff argued whether face morphing filters contributed to body dysmorphia. Mossery admitted they chose not to ban most of them, opting instead for what he called transparency. We are wrapping up the first full week of this with a clear divide. The plaintiffs have successfully painted a picture of a growth at all costs culture, a world where tweens were the target audience and hooking them was the goal. The defence, however, is building a wall of personal responsibility. They're counting on the jury to believe that mental health is too complex to blame on an algorithm, and that under Section 230, they aren't responsible for the digital environment they created. There has, of course, been a lot of discussion about this case online and in the news. ABC News legal analyst Brian Buckmeyer explained the significance of a trial accusing Meta and YouTube of designing platforms to be addictive for younger users.
The parties that are still there get to kind of point to the proverbial empty chair in the room. We've seen it with YouTube saying that we're not really a social media platform in the same way that Instagram is, for example. And so with Snapchat and others, like TikTok already taking a plea, they could, in a sense, say, you know what? TikTok's addicting. Look at what happened with the Senate and the whole issue of trying to keep that going. Instagram is an issue, but not us, YouTube. And so them settling could create another argument. But if they are liable, TikTok and Snapchat get to say, hey, look, they're the issue, not us. We don't need to change. So it's a bit of a good and bad for both sides there.
Now, if this trial goes the way of the big tobacco lawsuits of the 90s, the addiction label won't just be a metaphor anymore. It will be a legal reality that could cost these companies billions and force a total redesign of the apps in your pocket. We're expecting to hear from other executives as the trial continues, and we will, of course, bring you more updates here on News Talk. But as always, I want to hear from you. What has been your experience with social media? Are you someone in your 20s or 30s who can't remember a time before these social platforms existed? Did you find yourself battling the urge to open the apps at 2 o'clock in the morning when you can't sleep and suddenly you're there for hours doom scrolling? I know myself, I absolutely am in that camp. I still, no matter how hard I try, find myself spending hours of my day scrolling at nothingness. But please do tell me your stories, techtalk@newstalk.com. Very often when we're talking about social media, it's in the context of keeping our young people, our kids and our teenagers safe online, which is obviously vitally important. But we as adults need to acknowledge that perhaps some of us are addicted to these platforms and that they can dictate and impact our moods, our mental health, how we're feeling about ourselves and everything besides. So I would love to hear your stories. As I said, techtalk@newstalk.com is the email address. And when we come back here on News Talk, I'm going to delve into that inbox and answer your tech questions.